So on Wednesday, the governor's counsel, Alfonso David, testified before state lawmakers about Governor Cuomo's cannabis proposal. During his testimony, he stated that since Washington, D.C. and 10 states, including Vermont and Massachusetts, have legalized it, quote, taking no action and maintaining the status quo is simply no longer sustainable. But there are groups that remain firmly against legalization, and today we speak with one of them, the New York State PTA. Kyle Belikopitsky is the executive director of the group. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, Susan. Thanks for having us on the show.
What is the PTA's position on legalizing cannabis?
Well, I think we're really adamantly opposed. This has actually been a PTA position since 1982, if you can imagine. So this position has been renewed every 7 years by our membership. The last time it was renewed, it was in 2012. It's going to be up again for resolution renewal this coming November.
And what is the exact question that you ask? Is it just should cannabis be legalized, or is it more complicated?
Yeah, there's a large resolution process where we have data, and our resolutions team puts together the kind of pros and cons, and all of our members vote on that.
And the last time they voted on it, what was the percentage?
It was a no, and I apologize, I don't have that figure for you, but it was an overwhelming no.
All right.
And our new board, our legislative committee, our resolutions committee still continue to have that position.
And the reason why?
This is a harmful proposal for children. What we see in Colorado and D.C. and other states recently, myself in Massachusetts, is that unfortunately, you know, when legalization happens, you know, underage children, you know, get their hands on marijuana in higher numbers. I was recently at a Massachusetts ski mountain with my son, who's 9. The children in front of us were 15 years old on the ski lift. The smoking marijuana. Being the mom that I am, I got off the ski lift. I went over. I yelled at them. I made them call their parents. So their parents knew. They weren't very happy with me.
Don't mess with Kyle, man.
But you know, my son, who is 9, is saying, you know, mommy, what's that smell? What's that smell?
Sure.
So I have a conversation with him. We already have those conversations with our children about drug use, et cetera.
So you think, I mean, clearly you're making the connection between Massachusetts legalizing cannabis and those kids on the ski lift in front of you smoking. They could have been smoking before it was legal.
Absolutely. But what we do see is that, you know, when Colorado's has the best information, the youth rates rise substantially. In addition to that, I mean, the Miracle Medical Association, our New York State Medical Society, are all saying this is harmful for even adults to begin smoking marijuana. You know, there are real problems with two things that do need to be solved. The medical marijuana system. There's a lot of problems with the system, with access and equity and the cost.
That's a system you support.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we continue to support New York State's medical marijuana program. We think that that should be reviewed. We think that the experts that work on that program should look at whether or not there should be other diseases that are included in that program. And on top of that, we have serious criminal justice issues that need to be solved because we have systemic problems. And really, it's abhorrent that we have disproportionate arrests and jailing
going to do is take a quick break, Kyle. We'll be right back to talk a little bit more about the criminal justice issue. We're talking with Kyle Belikopitsky. She is the executive director of New York State PTA about cannabis legalization. We'll be right back.
Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.
We've been talking a lot about legalizing cannabis in New York. Over the last, I would say, 2 weeks, there has been a louder and louder outcry from critics, including groups like the Sheriff's Association and the PTA. And today we have the executive director of the PTA on the show with us, Kyle Belikopitsky. And we were talking about some things. You know, a lot of people say, well, one of the reasons why we want to do this is because of the disparate justice that has been meted out over the criminalization of marijuana. And this would take care of some of those social justice issues. And you agree.
Absolutely. We have to fix that system. I think the problem is some of the preliminary data we're seeing out of Colorado, and I actually just pulled it up in front of me, is that, you know, according to the Colorado Department of Public Safety, since legalization, and this was a report that they have from 2018 on their website, since legalization in Colorado, the arrest rates for African-American men in particular has actually doubled, continued to double that of Caucasians.
In Colorado.
And then, why? Again, this is a systemic problem we have to fix. According to the Center for Juvenile and Criminal Justice, African-Americans are twice as likely to be arrested for marijuana still in Colorado and in Washington, both states that have already legalized recreational marijuana.
Is it young people that
it's
are being
often
arrested?
Younger people.
All right. So let me see.
So we have to fix this. This is a huge issue. And, you know, we know that we have significant criminal justice issues, high rates of arresting, you know, young, especially young African-American and Hispanic males.
So, but you are not swayed by the social justice argument that, neighborhoods that have been decimated by the criminalization of pot could see reparations in the form of, say, revenue from the sale of cannabis.
When I think what we saw, see also in Colorado. Hold on, I'm just gonna. I wanted to bring some of our data with us.
Kyle is googling fiercely.
I have a whole fact sheet in front of me, okay. Susan, so I can be accurate. Uh-huh. And the same thing, you know, the problem is that if the arrest rates actually went down, I think that would be a valid argument. What we see from Colorado, from Washington, is that is not the case. Those arrest rates are actually getting higher. I think we actually have, you know, we have to look at things, and we talked about these things in some of our materials, real sentencing guidelines, real training, real decriminalization. That's important, and we have to look at those things. I think that's a bigger conversation, and I think it's not just marijuana, but it's also other low-level drug offenses.
Well, you know what? One of the things that does resonate, and I think with a lot of people, is that, you know, young people are already navigating sort of a landmine of issues, yeah, from vaping and cigarettes and opioids. You know, why add cannabis to the list of harmful drugs that they're going to be dealing with? You know, that's a
yeah, absolutely, and that's
legitimate argument.
One of our other positions, you know, right now, as it stands, 1 in 5 high school students is vaping in our schools. 1 in 5. And so what we already know from vaping is that they're already targeting, you know, children and youth, and where we are happy to see the governor's proposal on Tobacco 21 and some of the targeting to try to take away the flavored e-cigarette liquids and things like that. They're going to be vaping marijuana. So this is just going to expound on the problem that we already have. The governor and the legislature have done a fantastic job trying to reduce youth vaping, trying to reduce youth alcohol use, trying to really combat substance use disorders and the heroin and opioid epidemic that we're having. Why are we going to add to that?
So there are some reasons why they want to add to that. Again, what Alfonso David said yesterday at the taxation hearing is we are going to be left behind as a state in terms of revenue. I'm just repeating
I understand that.
He said, and we don't have a choice, that the status quo is not something that we can deal with.
Yeah, and one of your colleagues at a press conference I was at recently asked me that, and I said, well, my son's health and safety and welfare is worth more than $300 million. Like all of our children, safe and healthy and welfare. This is going to increase child use of marijuana.
Even though the legalization is
absolutely
supposed to be above, I can't remember what it is, 21.
Yes, we see 600,000 of our kids right now are smoking tobacco. Across the country. I mean, we have
even though
serious,
that's illegal,
exactly.
Too.
We have a serious epidemic with youth use of tobacco and alcohol now.
Another issue is enforcement. I mean, just that is about enforcement, but also on the road. There's no cannabis equivalent to a breathalyzer. If legalization does happen, Kyle, okay, and I'm not saying that it is, but if it does, because a lot of people are pushing for this.
I absolutely hear that.
What kind of protections would you like to see included in the bill?
I think we need a bigger conversation. You know, the first thing is to get this out of budget negotiations. This shouldn't be a part of the budget. We need a longer conversation about how, if New York is going to do this again, and we don't support that.
And both Speaker Hastie and Majority Leader Stuart Cousins have said this should be out of the budget.
Yeah, and we would agree with them. That's not the place to do this. I think we need a real conversation about how we're going to try to, one, continue to support substance use disorders and those that may be affiliated affiliated with addiction, how we're going to try to, you know, really reduce in or lessen the impact on children, how we're going to train. I just had a conversation with the Chiefs Association, Police of Chiefs Association, and, you know, they have to retrain all of their drug dogs because right now all the drug dogs will hit on marijuana. So none of those drug dogs across the state would then be useful to them as police agencies. How are we going to have what's called DREs? These are drug enforcement officers that are trained by police departments to identify drug driving.
That's going to cost a lot of money to educate a whole new kind of enforcement officer.
Absolutely. And if we're going to do this, again, which we don't support, but if New York State's going to do this, it has to be thoughtful. This can't be rushed. All of the other states have done this by referendum. New Jersey, you know, declined to do this by legislation because this was such an important issue that they put it to the voters.
We don't have initiative and referendum.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the only way we can do it, is by the legislature acting.
Yeah. And I agree. I think speaking with a lot of legislators, they too are saying the same things. There's a lot of implementation challenges to this. There's a lot of criminal justice, changing of thoughts and minds on this. That really has to go, especially with some of the enforcement methods. You know, off the top of my head, what do we think about bus drivers? You know, marijuana, as we know, stays in your... test it for positive marijuana for a long time, even after you are sober.
Good point.
What are we going to do about our bus drivers and their, you know, random drug tests and things like this that we're doing now?
At the same time, you think about alcohol, okay? Mm-hmm. People... that kind of, banning alcohol did not work.
No.
And, people are going to drink. So why not just treat this the way we treat alcohol?
And I think I hear that argument. And again, we had when alcohol, obviously, we have a lot of underage children using alcohol and we have a lot of underage children using tobacco. Why are we just going to add to the pot? Why are we going to give them one more avenue to unfortunately make a poor choice? I'm a mom. I know lots of us are parents and have children in our lives. We have to figure this out first for them.
Kyle Bela-Kapitsky is the executive director of the New York State PTA, and she is not a fan of the legalization of cannabis. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Susan, thanks for having us on.
And I want to thank you for joining us for the Capitol Press Room. Our producer has been Tim Williams.
Howdy.
And our engineer, Neil Winchell. I'm Susan Arbetter, and you've been listening to the Capitol Press Room.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.